Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Episode Zero podcast, Episode 2. Just a reminder, this podcast is not to be taken orally or rectally, unless you live in California, in which case you're probably used to taking it rectally all the time. But let's move on. Been kind of a slow general news week. I don't want to discuss the politics till the end of the show, like always, so we'll just move into something that's a little more interesting, at least to me, which is, I guess we'll go into the techie news, the gaming techie news, and we'll begin with, well, what happens when gaming companies try to get publicity for their games? And, of course, the big target here is Electronic Arts, who also is known for mostly their sports games, but in this case, we're going to talk about one of their non-sports franchises, non-sports games, called Dante's Inferno. It's billed as an action-adventure game for the 360. That's all nice and good, but see, the reason we're going to talk about this is because at the San Diego Comic-Con convention, I think that's a bit of a redundant sentence, yeah, they made headlines for a contest for said game, where they were, which, and according to this flyer, it says, perform acts of lust with booth babes, or on booth babes. And apparently this generated a huge amount of outrage, and by necessity, a kind of a mealy-mouthed, half-assed apology. Alright, let's see, where to best approach this. Okay, first off, I feel reasonably confident in saying that 90 to 95% of the people at San Diego Comic-Con are male. They don't really, not to say there's not been an increase in female supporters and or attendees, but it's still overwhelmingly guys. And of the women who do attend the convention, I would say probably about half are staff, as opposed to people that are just fans. So, that leads me, of course, to the next big thing, which is this, the whole booth babe phenomenon. Most of the time, these are like local models, from what I understand. They're the ones that are not quite good enough to earn the really big money. That's where they all aspire to be. And let's be honest, if a woman takes up modeling, she knows she's going to get paid not just based on her looks. And she knows part of her job is going to be wearing uncomfortable outfits, as anyone who's ever suffered through a fashion show or flipped through any fashion show of any kind knows that, you know, they're being paid largely for how they look, not what the clothes or whatever outfits they're wearing. So what I'm trying to say here is, it's kind of their job to, part of their job to expect to be wearing these ridiculous outfits, you know. And I imagine the outfits and costumes that appear on a comic book character can, well, maybe aren't as outrageous as some of the things they've worn, but, you know, they're probably right up there. And, of course, it takes me back to the flyer, and it says, commit acts of lust. And then underneath it, it reads, take photos with any booth babe. You know, okay, acts of lust, that's kind of a broad term. Taking a photo with a woman, and especially an attractive woman, you know, at a convention, okay, yeah, maybe that would qualify as an act of lust. Okay, probably would be, you know, because I imagine most guys at a convention say, yeah, that's a reasonably attractive woman, I want to go get my photo taken with her. Okay. I don't think it really qualifies as a big serious act of lust. Could be wrong. It's certainly not any worse than asking someone for their phone number. But again, that's just me. And then, of course, there's the second part, the other two parts of the contest were prove it by Twittering it or putting on Facebook and then repeating it. Which I guess maybe that's why people are offended. Not that they actually, were that brazen about it, but that they brought it out here and said, "Ooh, do it over and over again." I'm going to be honest and say I don't see how this is offensive or enrages anyone. I mean, you're basically asking a bunch of guys, a bunch of probably not socially gifted guys, to have their photo taken multiple times with many different beautiful, attractive women and presumably skimpy or questionably attired out costumes. Or, well, questionable attire, yeah. I don't see the problem. The women know why they're getting paid. I'm reasonably certain they know why they're getting paid. I don't think any of them's that delusional enough to think, "Oh, well, I grew up liking Wonder Woman. Let me put on the outfit for free." I could be wrong. I imagine there may be one or two in there that actually feel a sense of empowerment from wearing some of these outfits. Some of them may get off on it. I don't know. But I don't think it's a big outrage to anybody. And frankly, I think the people that are outraged just need to grow up a little or just move on with their lives. All right. So there's that fan outrage dealt with. Let's see, what else is there? Oh, there's the other thing with apparently Amazon has this new service called Kindle, which lets you download and read books. And there is some sort of snafu or not really understanding the fine line, but this Kindle service lets you read all these books and magazines up to a point electronically, in which case it deletes them. And people were outraged and shocked and upset about this, I guess. I don't know. I don't have Kindle, by the way. I'm not in any real hurry to buy it either. It just doesn't hold any interest to me. I imagine someone out there does. I know a lot of people do think it's a great new service. That's fine. Kind of reminds me of, I guess, was it DivX, where you're basically paying for a key or a code to keep a movie that you've already downloaded, mind you, and being still be able to play it. DivX is now extinct and gone in favor of DVD. Electronic copies and being able to read, I guess new chapters or new editions of books or magazines or newspapers, that's cool. I just don't care. But I did thought it was worth addressing that. And I'm just looking over the rest of some of the other interesting things going on in the world of gaming. PS, there's a listing for a PS3 Slim on Amazon, something most of us have speculated they're about coming. Another World of Warcraft 3, BS, more costumes, Oh, and a Return of Boy and His Blob, which is an old NES game. So, there's that. Shifting slightly away from gaming, but moving on to things that are just as fun for the geekish lot that I call home, is the six potato Gatling gun, which has apparently been thought up and posted online by at boingboing.net. It's a six. Yeah, it's exactly what it says. It's a six-chambered Gatling gun that lets you fire six potatoes. That's. I'm trying to decide whether or not this is awesome or just really cool. Now maybe I just need to take potatoes and freeze them and then shoot them at people. Be great for family gatherings. In fact, but if you have a family and you and want to use this weapon, try it out and then get back to me so that I know how well it works. All right. And that's about that for the normal, yes, tech geek news. Moving on to something a little more substantial, which is sports. I had the misfortune last night of having to watch ESPN's coverage of the X Games. And I'm not going to make fun of the X Games themselves. They kind of fall in that category of, like, figure skating for me. Not because they're wearing leotards, although that probably will happen at some point. But basically, it's an art contest, and you're judging how pretty someone can flip a bike or a skateboard or some such. In very rare cases, I guess you're doing a race, which is objectively measuring how fast people can go on a clock. Okay, that's fine. I'm not gonna really, some people love it. My hat's off to you, to those of you that do. To each his own there. I have a bigger issue with the commentating, which I was subjected to. Commentating on this sort of thing, doesn't kind of work really. Yeah, I understand each sport has its own jargon and technology about how it, or well, not technology, lexicon about different terms and everything involved in it. But these guys added essentially nothing. It's literally a case of, okay, he spins really fast. Did he fall and bust his ass? Oh no, he didn't fall and bust his ass. Great. So, did he fall and bust his ass? No, he didn't. No, all right. No. Not really that enthralling or helpful to the viewer. It's kind of like watching NASCAR with the commentary track on, except it's not nearly as interesting or informative, for that matter, because at least the NASCAR you have to explain how an engine works and the set number of tires you can go. When you're watching commentary about guys doing skateboarding tricks, and the best, most interesting thing the commentators can talk about is the size of the trucks, which are the wheels underneath the board, that's not particularly interesting. It's not really informative either, but, let's just say that particular experience means I won't be watching the X Games again anytime soon. In any variant. Let's see, is there anything? Oh, I did also, of course, during the game, I watched the ads for The Final Destination, which is apparently the latest in a long string of movies designed to kill characters, often fairly gruesome and disturbing ways. Not at all what I would have thought would have been an entertaining premise, but it's like the Saw movies. They keep making money, so they're gonna keep making them. Sticking to sports, I am, I guess, a little put off about the oh well yes that's gonna talk about that since I'm still remembering it now. Ben Roethlisberger, the quarterback of the Super Bowl winning Pittsburgh Steelers, you may have heard he got nailed for, he was getting accused of rape. Actually, you probably didn't hear that because, oh, excuse me. Little bit of gas there. Just reading up on Chris Dodd and how that sort of thing can be communicated. He got accused of rape, and for whatever reason, ESPN, the four-letter network, refused to acknowledge that for a long, long time. And now, I thought it maybe it had something to do with the fact that he was going to be appearing on a new show. It's on ABC, which is the parent company of ESPN. But that's probably just me, being overly dramatic or overly alarmist. You know, there's no such thing as collision between different sectors of the same company. Oh. But you never know. Let's see. Moving on to the Major League Baseball standings, the Tampa Bay Rays are still 6 games back of the now apparently first place New York Yankees, which sucks because that means I'm going to have to listen to those fucking Yankees talk all goddamn time. And incidentally, it's very, very irritating when you remember when you are a fan of a team in a division with one of those big market teams, because you're subjected to them. And over in the National League, the Florida Marlins are 6 games back of the division-leading Philadelphia Phillies. Not what we call good, but there's lots of time to be between now and the end of the season. Shifting over to the wild card, Tampa Bay is 4.5 out of the wild card, which is currently held by Boston. The Rangers of Texas are 1.5 back. And over in the National League, the Marlins are 2 games back of the Rockies and the San Francisco Giants, and 1 game back of the Chicago Cubs. So, there's that. Just going to keep an eye on this race. Hopefully one of them will make it into the postseason, so I'll have an excuse to keep watching baseball after football starts up again. Not making any bets or promises there, but we would like to hope so. And speaking of things and keep watching, let's move on to the entertainment portion of the show, where I discuss, well, not what I'm specifically watching, but why I watch the things I watch. And that more or less has to do with the fact that I got really, really tired of watching the, I guess, the Western style of writing. Well, actually, it's not really the Western style of writing. It's how television programs and other things are written in here in the West, in the United States specifically. And I'm not making any saying it's a bad point or good thing of, or, you know, good, bad point or good point, because it has its detractors as well as its supporters. And it's just an acknowledgement that getting things done, like getting them on air or getting them published here in the United States, requires, well, it's a lot more bigger effort. That's why they say, you know, oftentimes it's, you're never really made it big until you've made it here. So when these things, so when people are trying to get these shows on the air, they do anything, they pull out all the stops, they do whatever. You know, Heroes, whatever, you know, all these sort of new shows that come up. My problem isn't that. My problem is what happens when these shows get on the air. And the people behind them, the people that are involved in their creation or their production, understandably, you know, can make a lot of money, generate a lot of profit and buzz, and I guess help for them off the shows. And again, I'm not saying it's not a bad thing. What I'm saying is the links that they will go to keep these shows on the air is a bad thing, in my opinion. For example, you mean Smallville, which I guess is still on the air, I think. It began with an interesting premise of an alternate take at the young Superman stories. And it's still going. Now, bear in mind that the comics, you know, are also still going. So I'm not going to say that keeping the TV going on while the comics are going on is a bad thing or a stupid thing. I'm just saying the sheer number of idiotic plot twists and over-the-top drama and angst and mystery and all that other crap that's introduced on a regular basis for these shows that occurs within 1 year and then is dealt with only to be brought back up again the next year, it irritates the hell out of me. I just have reached the point where I prefer shows having a beginning, an end, and a middle. And I'm not saying that all shows written in the United States do that. There's quite a few number of ones that don't. The most, I guess, the well-known one of sci-fi-wise was Babylon 5, which was written and plotted out over, was it 5 years, I think, by its creator. And, you know, that's fine. But when shows keep doing this, drag it out, drag the drama out, drag the angst out, drag everything else out, it just gets irritating to me, and I was like, you know what, I'm not going to bother watching this sort of crap, and just move on. Incidentally, this is probably why I think that reality TV shows keep succeeding and keep staying around while the more scripted shows decline and go away. It's because reality shows have a beginning and an end, and, you know, and there's a middle. There's a fair amount of predictability to them. You kind of know the stereotypes ahead of time. You know the cliches. You know more or less how they're going to interact. But you watch because you know, hey, even though the story is predictable, it's still entertaining. And if you don't, you just have to wait a year and it's gone and you have a whole new cast of characters to look at. Who are similarly going to be cliched but entertaining. So this is why I've kind of gravitated towards watching shows I watch, you know, the simpler, more, I guess, one season-ish shows. Not because they're great things, you know, great works of writing or anything, but because they're a lot easier for me to handle, you know. There's less chance I'm going to get really pissed off at what's going on and just chuck whatever amount of time I've invested in the show out the window. Instead of having to worry about a year or two, I'm at most, you know, out a couple weeks. And then I can just sit back and wait. So, that's my entertainment-esque rant this week, disjointed as always, brought to you by the fine folks at, well, I don't have a sponsor right now, so I guess we'll just say brought to you by the fine folks in my head, and I wish they would quit arguing. In the meantime, I guess, well, should we discuss politics this week or not? Sure, why the hell not? Okay, so the following contains political opinions, thoughts, and insight. If you find this offensive or upsetting in any way, shape, fashion, or form, get your own show. Really, it's not that hard. So, the political talk this week is going to point out a couple of rather, you know, bad ideas that are done at such a massive level that nobody in their right mind would dream of doing at a smaller level. First off, we have the Cash for Clunkers program, which is basically the government saying, okay, if you have a POS, car, you can come trade it in. We'll give you a check for a certain amount of money. Roughly around $4,500, $4,500 for those who can't understand that, and use it to pay towards one of these newer cars that are presumably more environmentally friendly or nicer and whatnot. Yeah. anyways, this program was being a spectacular failure, and was basically running out of money and not really doing anything worthwhile. So, naturally, the government, in its infinite wisdom, gave them more money. $2 billion more to help them out. My thoughts on this are, you know, the reason that this isn't succeeding is because these new cars that they want everybody to buy largely suck. I mean, they look like the twins in the Transformers movies, I think. You know, these new economically friendly, eco-friendly, you know, shit on wheels cars. They're just ugly. I mean, really, they are. I'm sorry if that offends people, but they're ugly little cars. And to be honest, I can see why nobody would fucking want them. For that reason alone. The other problem I have with them is, and this is why I'm probably not going to be partaking in this program anytime soon, is my car's not great. It's not perfect. It's not even really, I mean, it's not a lap of luxury. But it's my car. I've paid for it. I own it. I just pay the insurance on it. I don't have a car payment. This cash for clunkers program, you know, oh, by the way, you have a car payment. And apparently is now subject to government changing the rules and regulations about how much you can pay for your car per month. Or how long those months can be. And judging by the fact that the government can't get anything else done efficiently, I don't want them having any say at all in what I can drive. Excuse me. It's just a bad idea. I mean, you go into the post office and wait half an hour for some stamps, which are also overpriced, by the way. It, you know, was it $5 now? $6 now for a pack of stamps? $7, I guess. The same people are doing that, you know. They want you to trust in their judgment as to what kind of car suits you best. No, we're not going to go with that particular answer. You know, and it's also because of this reason that, you know, the whole healthcare thing continues to sputter and die. Because apparently people in my country think that, you know, the people in other countries that have government-run healthcare, it's a great system. No, it's not. I interact with a fair amount of people from other countries online, and even though they won't come out and say it, I'm getting the sense that not a lot of them are real happy when they get sick because they know that they're at the mercy of the monster they've created. But it looks like that's dead. I imagine it's not completely dead. And there will be some attempt at in foisting that piece of crap onto the American people, but that's just going to be a spectacular clusterfuck when it does happen. So, there is that. Now, I'm trying to think if there's anything else coming to mind that I wanted to mention or discuss. Not really. I do have a friend or two that's having a birthday this week online, so I will be sending my regards to them. But that's really all I have for you guys. So this has been Charles, the host of the Episode Zero podcast, finishing up Episode 2 of said podcast, reminding all of you that Three out of four people in the world make up 75% of the population. No, really, man. No, that's not what I'm trying to remind you. I'm just saying, have a good day, or good night, whenever you're listening to this, if you listen to it at all, and I will talk to all of you later. Bye.